and welcome back to Apprentice People Tech Bite. Today's episode is all about how to interpret and respond to penetration testing results. Joining me today are team leaders George and Nathan. Delighted to have you both on today's episode. Could you start by telling our Tech Bite listeners what are some of the common issues that arise when found in a penetration test?
Yeah, go on then. So I'll start. So without going into too much detail, some of the issues that I've found is sometimes clients that we're testing are a little bit too secure. There's been cases where the antivirus has gone off and when we've been testing and they've had a kind of like all or nothing response to it where they just shut down everything. And it's resulted essentially in disruption for not just me, but for everyone. And it's just, the reason that happened is because no one was aware that that's what it would do. So it was just a lack of awareness of what the existing security controls would do in a situation like that where an attacker's on the network, or in my case, a penetration tester.
Nathan, do you have any comments?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of kind of remediation, right, I mean, this whole thing is about how to interpret the results. I think one thing I've noticed is, so obviously as a consultant, when we write our reports and we give our remediation advice, we're always trying to be as specific as possible for that client's environment, but we don't always have the information. We're not always privy to how they are set up and how exactly you might fix something. And so I think what really helps and what has been a problem is when there's not the right amount of communication back from a client, it's really hard for us to determine how they might actually fix an issue we find, because quite often it's easier for us to say there is this issue rather than this is exactly how you fix it. So what I've found is just keeping that constant communication going as you find things, especially the higher severity and critical severity issues, is really important, because that does give you the context as you go in to understand the vulnerability more in depth and more specifically to their environment.
Penetration testing is a vital part of a cybersecurity strategy development, evaluating the strength of an organization's infrastructure to prevent attackers from exploiting security flaws in your software or network. You want to discover them as soon as possible. A penetration test is becoming increasingly common because it anticipates attacks instead of waiting for them to happen, allowing people to be more proactive in their security initiatives. Can you explain to us why all organizations, businesses need a penetration test?
Yeah, so I mean, it's not just for certain people now. We all live in the digital age where every single aspect near enough is online. You do your shopping online, you do your banking online, you interact with the world through TCP, IP, really, at a fundamental level. So it's important that all aspects of that are checked for exploitation. It's just, you know, the software and the hardware has come such a long way, and the security of it hasn't really caught up. So we're in this situation now where we're doing amazing things with IT and technology and things like that, but the security hasn't really been baked in. So it's our job really to kind of say, well, hold up, this is really cool technology here, but how about if we use it like this, or how about if we change that to a one instead of a zero, and then what can we do there that someone's not necessarily thought of, because they've had this amazing idea, they pushed it out and they put it into practice, but really they've not considered that wider issue of, well, what if someone wasn't going to use it the way that you've written it?
Yeah, and it's going to become increasingly important now with AI and the developments in that side, because it's going to become easier and easier for Joe blogs on the internet to write a pretty detailed exploit or something like that, or piece of code that they can use in an exploit to attack these systems that haven't been secured properly. I guess in terms of companies specifically, the reason why they should all be interested in having penetration tests is, data now is the value of a company. If that isn't secured properly or that gets leaked, obviously there are going to be legal and financial consequences in general anyway. On top of that, that is where the whole value of the company is. So, even for selfish purposes, they should be just interested in making sure that is secured, even if it isn't for legal or compliance reasons, just for the goodness of their own business.
There are five phases of a penetration test. Can you briefly summarize the five processes of a penetration test?
Yeah, so generally there's a bit of variation between what people might say is involved in each stage, or a bit of overlap. They might call it different things. But generally, like you say, there's the five main phases. So the first one is generally some form of reconnaissance. So that could be passive reconnaissance, just looking at information that's available on the internet, or active reconnaissance as well. So actively, enumerating things like open ports and just being a bit more interactive with infrastructure or websites that belong to that business. So in that phase, generally the tester is just trying to gather as much information as possible about the target system or systems, network topology, operating systems, applications, user accounts, everything like that, just to allow them to go forward into the next steps and plan an effective attack strategy, really.
Yeah, so I'll pick up the next one then. So phase two, we've got scanning. So here we're looking at saving ourselves time as testers by trying to pick up common security issues, which we can really easily test for. That saves us as individuals time so we can focus on more complex issues, bigger picture issues, attack chains and things like that. So these scans, essentially what they look for is, really common easy indicators of outdated software maybe, or looking at common username passwords, or certain software and technologies. So these scans really do save us time, and they allow us to comprise a breadth of assessment with a test, as also the more complex, right? Or how is this going to be put together by an attacker to form an actual cyber attack?
So you can see there, like, that kind of ties in with like active reconnaissance, for example. So a lot of the scanning, like finding open ports, things like that, could be considered active reconnaissance as well. So there's a bit of overlap. I guess the next stage, which leads a bit on from what George said, is just vulnerability assessment in general. So once you've got all that information, look at it, look where the potential weaknesses might be, including the obvious things like outdated software, weak cryptography, things like that. So you can, again, put together an effective plan for how you might exploit the issues, which would kind of be the next stage. So there's lots of resources for that. For example, you've got the National Vulnerability Database. George, like, I'm sure you'll agree, you move on to kind of exploitation.
Yeah, so the exploitation phase here is where we're looking at what we can do with what we've found. How is an attacker going to use this to cause damage, to set up a persistence on a computer so that they've gotten access to it, so they can come back to it at a later date? Or, we're essentially seeing how can these things be leveraged, and that really depends on the motivations of an attacker. So as a penetration tester, we kind of have to cover all bases here, because we can't just focus on one mindset. So, an attacker that's going to be motivated by money would probably look to deploy ransomware and try and get money out of the company. An attacker that's looking for reputational gain or some kind of they're trying to prove a point, they'll probably do more of defacing, They might get a vulnerability in a website where they can change something so they can make it look funky. So, we've really got to be holistic there and consider every single avenue possible, because it's not always cut and dry. Like you normally see in these CTFs where it's like find the flag in the root users directory. That's not what attackers are looking to do. They're looking to do much worse stuff than much worse than that.
Yeah, and then it's the final stage, is quite a simple one. So obviously that's just the reporting and kind of the wash up with a client. So obviously, once all the vulnerabilities are identified, whether they're being fully exploited or not by a consultant, we're not always going to be able to exploit a vulnerability, and it's not always in the client's interest for us to exploit a vulnerability, such as a denial of service, for example. Obviously, a report is then prepared, which contains all the findings, and that stage would generally also, like I say, include some kind of debrief with the client. And I think that sums up the five stages pretty well.
So with these five phases, can they be done in any order, or do they have to be specific?
Yeah, so pretty much have to be done in order. Like I said, there's a bit of overlap, so like reconnaissance kind of overlaps with scanning kind of overlaps with vulnerability assessment, but generally you need the information from the previous one to get to the next one.
Yeah, it can work like a cycle as well, if you think about it. So you go through that phase where you gain access, you exploit, And then say, for instance, you get a low privilege shell on the machine, you'd then start packet reconnaissance and then start going through that scanning, vulnerability and assessments and then exploitation again. So, you know, that process is cyclical, but it's useful to structure the pen testing methodology around it, because then you don't get stuck down rabbit holes and you have a nice flow to your work.
There are several approaches to pen testing, from black box testing, in which the tester has zero knowledge of the target's environment, to white box, in which the tester has complete knowledge. Can you give our audience some of the techniques and methodologies of a penetration test?
Yeah, so I'll go through white box then. So white box, we've got the case where, say, a client wants a really in-depth assessment, so we're not really concerned about what you can find and how you found it. It's more, right, this is what we have, where are the vulnerabilities in it? You know, we're not wasting time trying to discover hosts, or, you know, trying to, you know, search around and be stealthy. That's not the aim of that assessment. You know, we're really just looking for what can go wrong, essentially. We're given IP addresses, we're given host names, we're given a lot of information that an attacker wouldn't have. So these tests aren't particularly representative of what a normal cyber attack would be like. They're more of an assessment, but that in doing that, you're more efficient with your time. You're looking at, right, if an attacker was to get in, where are the likely places that they're going to go? Because we've looked at everything.
And then, so grey box would be kind of the happy medium, right? That's generally what most assessments are conducted with. So grey box is, again, you have some information. But whereas white box, you might have a list of all the assets, what operating systems they're using, what they're used for, things like that. Grey box might just be, you know, these are our subnets, maybe say what each of the subnets are for at most, and that would pretty much be about your limit. So you would have some information, but not all of the information, which I think is the best kind of happy medium, because a white box test is good and it's going to be the most, almost kind of the most thorough for what they know asset wise, but you've got to consider, okay, well, especially on big networks, they might not know what they have. So if you do a grey box and you just say, okay, well, anything you find in these subnets is in scope, that kind of gives us a bit of room to maybe find things that they weren't expecting or that they didn't even know were still on the network, for example.
Obviously, the purpose of a penetration test is to emulate real world scenarios a hacker may use to determine the feasibility of an attack where vulnerabilities lie. Can you give us an overview of how a penetration test mitigates vulnerabilities?
Yeah, so the short of it is we find them before the attackers do. That's the fundamental kind of idea here is, you know, you send us in, we'll find the issues that, you know, an attacker would look for, you know, using tools that they would use, using processes and methodologies that they'd use. And our job is essentially to say, how do you fix this before someone else comes in and exploits it for real and tries to do something malicious with it?
Yeah, and depending on the maturity of the security team for the organisation that's being tested, it can also be seen as kind of a bit of a training exercise. So the output of that assessment and the report and the information that it provides them can empower them kind of in the future to make sure that similar vulnerabilities or different vulnerabilities don't, you know, pop up again in new services and new infrastructure, new websites, things like that, because they'll have a bit more knowledge on at least some of the more common things that can go wrong. So it does just empower them to, going forward, hopefully make sure there are less vulnerabilities without even needing a pen test to find that information out.
Great points you've both mentioned. Penetration testing can offer an invaluable means to establish a baseline assessment of an organization's security posture as to appears from both inside and outside the network's boundaries. I think you've both highlighted key information today discussing pen testing and how we can actually interpret and respond to penetration testing results. Thank you for your time today, guys. It's been great having you both on. Join me next week on another Tech Bite.